everyone. Welcome to the Hoboken Grace Podcast. We hope today's message inspires you on your walk with God and supports you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. We want to help you in that, so every message from every week is available live and on demand on our app or at hobokengrace.com. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us, and we'll see you next week.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we are launching this brand new conversation. And I'm not going to hold back. I'm just going to tell you my goal as we move through the next few weeks. I want to change the way that you think about church, and hopefully just a couple seconds ago began to do that, because you're like, wait, can you do improv in church? I don't think you're allowed to do that. But I want to change the way that you think about that specifically, and more importantly, I want to change the way that you think about God, and specifically how you engage and how it is that God wants for us to engage Him. Because here's the thing. If we were to go around this room, and I've been doing this for a long time now, I know this is true, and I were to ask you to describe your experience of God, if I were to say, okay, what words come to mind when you think of your experience of God? Almost none of you would say joy. Or how do you experience? Almost none of you would say, well, I enjoy God. There's a lot of different words that would come to mind. I seek God. I trust God. I follow God. Maybe you're here today, your friend invited you. You don't even know about this God. I don't even know if I guess God. Aren't you supposed to be afraid of God? Isn't God angry? I don't know. There are all sorts of different words that will come to mind. But for almost none of us do we think, oh no, I enjoy God. Some of you even think, well, wait, are you supposed to be able to do that? I don't think you're supposed to be able to do that. Just like the improv thing. I don't think you're supposed to be able to do that. I don't think God wants you to enjoy Him. I mean, He wants you to honor Him, right? He wants you to obey Him, but enjoy God? It's not just distant from our actual experience. It's actually, for some of us, counter to what we even believe about God. Or what God wants from us. And yet, when you come to Scripture, I think God presents us with a very different picture. I mean, the word that God uses most as it pertains to our relationship with Him, how He engages us, how He wants us to engage Him, is the word love. You know that, right? You understand that that's the word that He uses most in terms of how He feels about us, how He wants for us to feel about Him. In Deuteronomy 6:5, it says this. Jesus echoes this later. There's multiple places where you see this in Scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. This is actually the great commandment. Jesus says it's the most important thing. And the word that He uses is this word, love. It's the most used word to describe our relationship. Now, think for a second about the things that you love. Think for a second about things that you love. Don't you enjoy the things that you love? Now, some of you are parents here, and you're like, well, I have kids. I love them. I don't enjoy them. But move beyond. Outside of that, don't you enjoy the things that you love? Yeah, we enjoy the things that we love. But then when it comes to God, we kind of twist this. And we're like, well, it's not really that kind of love. It's not really like an enjoying kind of love. It's more like an honoring kind of love, more like a respect kind of love, an obedience kind of love. It's not really supposed to be like that with God. That's not really how it works with God. That love's a little bit different. But interestingly enough, God doesn't just stop there. God uses another word to describe how He feels about you and how He wants you to feel about Him, how He wants for the relationship to work, how He wants for us to engage one another. You may be able to twist and get around this love one, but the other one, I think, I don't know how you're going to get around it, because listen to what it says in Psalm 37. It says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight. I don't know how you're going to get around this one. I mean, when you delight in something, you enjoy it. When you delight, and he says, this is the relationship I want to have with you. I want for you to delight in me. There's another places in other places he teaches us that he actually delights in us. You don't believe that either, but we'll get there as we move through the series. But he says, I want for you to delight in me. Let me ask you again, what is it that you delight in? I mean, when you delight in something, even the thought of it brings a smile to your face. Like someone brings it up and there's something that leaps inside of you because you delight in it. Man, I love that. I delight in that. Now, some of you may be here, and sometimes this happens in life. You may say, I don't really delight in anything anymore. We're going to talk about that as we move through this series. I think that's actually a product of what it is that we're talking about. But what is it that you delight in? Some of you delight in football. You can't wait for me to stop talking so you can get home. You're like, when is this? Just got to make it through this hour. That's not true. You wouldn't be at this service. You would have went to the earlier service. Some of you delight in shopping. Like even the fact that I mentioned that word, like something just leapt inside of you. You're like, I think it's a sign. The pastor said shopping. I should go today. Definitely need to go. You ever met somebody who delights in their dog? Like my friend recently got a new dog. And every time the dog comes into her presence, she loses it. Like, her voice gets super high. She's like this thing. You guys know that high, you know the high voice when you delight in something? It's like, you always know when your friend's girlfriend calls because his voice goes up multiple octaves. Because every other phone call, it's like, hello, hello, hello. Hey, how are you? They delight in that. What is it that you delight in? He says, I want for you to delight in me. And he doesn't just say it once. Even when you look at our vision passage for Hoboken Grace, it's found in Psalm chapter 1, this idea of being a tree planted by riverbanks, solid, unmovable, consistent. Listen to what it says in Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, here it's talking about in God's word, but again, it's this idea of delight. This is not just like, okay, I'm good with this. There's a joy here. Philippians specifically talks about it in terms of joy. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Psalm 43, then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp. He says, I delight in you. Let me take you back to Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight. Is this your experience of God? Now, as I said, I want to change the way that you think about God. And for some of you, that's already beginning to change because you didn't think this was even possible. This is so far from everything you've ever heard about God, how you've ever even seen people experience God. I mean, delight, that you would be excited, like you would enjoy God, that's a thing. Not only is it a thing, God actually calls us to it. He says, I want for this to be our relationship. And as we move through the next few weeks, what I want to do is I want to look at, okay, what does that look like? How do we actually live that out? Like, knowing that we're called to it is not enough. How do you do that? And I think this is critical. Listen. I think this is critical because I think if we don't learn how to do this, if we don't know what this looks like, if we're not able to live this out, we will miss out. Listen to me. We will miss out on our inheritance. We will miss out on our inheritance. Now, what I mean by that is this. There's this passage that I heard again several months ago, and God just began to use it. These different passages were coming together in ways that I'd never really seen it come together before, and it started challenging me pretty powerfully with, with these passages. The passage that I'm talking about is found in Lamentations. Now, Lamentations is an interesting book. It's found in the Jewish scriptures in the Old Testament, and it's written by a prophet who's watching everything he loves get destroyed. The nation of Israel is basically over. Judah's destroyed. Jerusalem's being destroyed. He's watching all of that. As he's watching this happen, or reflecting on this happening, he's lamenting what's happening. I mean, it's a sad book. But in the midst of it, he's also coming back to his hope. Occasionally, he comes back to what his hope is, where his hope is found. You see this kind of back and forth for this prophet as he's experiencing this. And in the midst of this, in the midst of losing everything, he says this, Lamentations 3:24, "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him." In the midst of watching everything get destroyed, he says, "The Lord is my portion." Portion. Now, this isn't the only time that you see this terminology. As a matter of fact, there are several points in the Jewish scriptures where you see someone talking like this, or you see this idea that the Lord is my portion. Let me take you to Psalm 73. It says, "Yet I am with you always." Remember this. This phrase is going to come back as we move through this. "Yet I am with you always. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You see this same idea? God is my portion. Psalm 119 says, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I've sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise." This, you see it over and over. This idea, okay, he is my portion. Now, it's important for you to understand, portion's a significant word inside of the Jewish scriptures, because when the nation of Israel comes into the land of Canaan, it's divided up amongst the different tribes. The land is divided amongst the different tribes, or the different members of the family. And so as they're moving in, they are given a portion of the land. And it talks about this over to this group. They were given this portion, and this group, they were given this portion. And so they're given their portions. This idea speaks to inheritance. It's okay, this is what you receive. You see it also when Elisha and Elijah are having a conversation at the end of the, when he's just about to go up, and he says, "I want a double portion." He's talking about what is it that he's going to receive. When it talks about God being Jacob's portion. When you look back to the forefathers, nation of Israel, it's this idea of inheritance. This is what is your rightful inheritance, what is given to you. And he says, okay, this is your portion. And this prophet, as he's watching everything, he says, "God is my portion." And then you don't just see it in the Jewish scriptures of the Old Testament. Then Jesus comes along. And I think he brings this same idea into two really interesting moments. The first one I want to take you to is found in the book of Luke. And inside of the book of Luke, you see this interaction between Jesus and Mary. Now, we talked about Mary last week because we talked about the situation where her brother dies. Well, before that, as Jesus is first encountering Mary and her sister Martha, there's an interesting story that plays out. Now, I want to take you there and just kind of walk you through it. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." This is, they're just beginning to get to know one another. Jesus actually goes to their house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So he comes to their house, Mary's sitting, listening to Jesus' teaching. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her then to help me.'" So they come in. Mary's listening to Jesus. She's sitting there with Jesus. Martha's busy serving, which is a good thing, and she's trying to make sure the house is right and get everything around and make sure everybody has what they need. But she's the only one doing it. So she says to Jesus, "Why don't you tell my sister to get up and help me?" Now, listen to what Jesus says. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary." And this is the interesting line. "Mary has chosen the good portion." Well, that's an interesting word to use. Mary has chosen the good portion. And then I love this line, which will not be taken away from her. Mary's chosen the good portion. And he uses this word that connects back to this idea of inheritance. It connects back to the Jewish scriptures and this tremendous history. And it will not be taken from her. There's another place where I think Jesus talks about this same idea. It's one of the most famous stories he's ever told. It's called the prodigal son. Historically, here at Hope and Grace, we've talked about this in terms of the prodigal. Recently, over the last year or so, we've talked about it more in terms of the other brother. Because inside the story, there's two brothers. And if you're not familiar with the story, these two brothers, there's one brother comes to his father, basically says, I wish you're dead. He says, I want my inheritance now. I want my portion now. And so the father says, okay, fine, I'm going to give you your inheritance. He actually gives it to him. He goes and blows it, finds himself at the end of himself, and realizes, even the servants in my father's house have it better than this. I'm going to go back and beg him just to be a servant in his house. He comes back. The father welcomes him with open arms. We talk about this all the time here at Open Grace. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. The father is willing to welcome you with open arms if you will come back to him. But that's not the end of the story. The father throws a big party to be able to welcome his son back. The older brother comes in from the fields, and when he hears about the party and when he sees the party, he's furious. Now, listen to how this conversation plays out between him and his dad. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. And then listen to this. Jesus is telling this story. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Now, pay attention. He doesn't say everything I have is yours, and you are always with me. He starts with what is most significant. Let me take you back to that last verse in Luke. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. As I've been working through this, these passages have hit me in a way, because none of them are really new to me, but the way that's laid out has hit me in a significant way, because it's challenged me with this question. Listen to me. What do I want my inheritance to be? What do I want my portion to be? And Scripture teaches us that we've been adopted into this family, that we have an inheritance. What is it that I want my portion to be? What is it that I believe should be part of my life because of the fact that I follow Jesus? Or because I've given my life to him? What is it that I believe my lot should be? If you're on this journey and you're striving to follow Jesus, you've wrestled through this. You haven't concluded it, I'm willing to bet. You haven't come to the point where you say, okay, this is it. You don't want to put words to it, but you have an idea of what it is that you think should be your portion, what it is that should be your lot. It's not that hard to find out what you think it should be. All you have to do is look at what makes you angry when God doesn't give it to you. It reveals it in a moment. And so if your health fails and you become angry with God, well, then that's the portion that you thought you should have received. You thought that should be the portion for someone who follows God the way that you followed God. We don't have time to even get into what we actually deserve. But God has said, no, that there's an inheritance. God has said that he's loved us, that we're adopted into his family. So what should our lot be? What should be our portion? Maybe for you it's not health that you think it should be. Maybe it's, as we talked about last week, that you'd be rescued from grief. And when you're not, you're angry with God. Why? Because that's, well, that should have been my portion. And I've had to wrestle through the reality that there's probably a lot of things that I think should be my portion. And unfortunately, there are some teachers out there who teach that God promises all sorts of different portions. That there are teachers out there that teach, if you follow God, you'll be wealthy. If you follow God, you'll be healthy. It's not what the scriptures say at all. God doesn't promise any of those things. That's not your portion. It's not that you don't have a portion. It's just that that's not it. So what is your inheritance? What is it that you get as someone who gives their life to Jesus or someone who follows Jesus? What was the portion that Mary received? Why did he speak of it this way? What was it? It was him. The Lord is your portion. Now, Jesus says it's the good portion. It's not the leftover portion. It's not the secondary portion. It's the good portion. The best portion. Not only does he say that, he says it won't be taken from her. He says the same thing to his disciples. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Here is your portion, and it will be yours, and it will not be taken from you. It is readily available to you. It is freely given to you by the grace of God because of Jesus' life given on that cross. This is your portion, and it is a good portion. But, listen. We will not see it as the good portion if we do not learn what it means to delight in him. I told you before that oftentimes it's said that God was Jacob's portion. Well, you know, Jacob wasn't supposed to be the one who received the birthright. He was second. He was the second born. He had a twin brother named Esau. Esau was actually supposed to be the one who received the birthright. He was supposed to be the one who received the portion. But there's this crazy story where Esau actually trades his birthright to Jacob. We don't have time to go through the whole story, but he actually trades it to him literally for a cup of stew. It's an insane story, a powerful story, nonetheless, but an insane story. At the end of it, the author says something interesting, though. He says, and in this way, he doesn't say that from that moment on, Esau despised his birthright. It says, in this way, Esau despised his birthright. He's not saying, okay, Esau hated it from that moment forward. What he's saying is this: Esau did not value the portion he had been given, and therefore he was willing to trade it for something of far lesser value. In this way, he despised it. Here's the thing. If we don't learn how to delight in him, we will do the same thing, and we will not value the portion we have been given, and we will exchange it for shallow delights. We do it all the time. All the time. And I know for some of you, you've been told, and I frequently will hear this about following Jesus, that if you're going to follow Jesus, well, you have to get rid of all your desires for delight. This is not about delight. This is not about enjoyment. This is about you getting rid of those things. You just have to move past those things. And those desires in your life are bad and wrong, and you shouldn't desire to be happy, and you shouldn't desire joy. You should just get rid of those things. I don't think that's at all what God teaches us. As a matter of fact, I don't think that the problem is that those desires are too big. I love the way that John Piper, the teacher and the writer, says this. He says, the problem is not that your desire for delight is too big. The problem is that your desire for delight is too small. And in the process, you're settling for shallow and insignificant, non-satisfactory delight. Listen to the way that C.S. Lewis talks about it. He talks about this very same thing. The author, the great author, he says, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offering of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." The problem isn't that you want to know delight. The problem is that we're settling for something far more, far less than what we've been offered. Here's my question for this series. What if our greatest delight is found in the good portion? Our portion that will not be taken from us. What if our greatest delight, the thing in which we could delight the most, is actually found in the good portion? Your portion. He has not promised you many of the things that we think that he should give us, but he has promised us this. This will be your portion. The Lord is your portion, and I will not be taken from you. What if our greatest delight is actually in what we have freely and wonderfully been given? And it won't be taken from us. Now, here's the thing. I'm not asking you to trust me that this is true today. I'm asking you to trust what we've seen in Scripture already, that God wants for you to delight in Him. That's all I'm asking you to trust today. That it's different than you thought. That He wants for you to delight in Him. That's all I'm asking you to trust me. And then to commit to engage this journey to find out if this is true. Because here's what you know, and you know this to be true. If this is true, it changes everything. If your greatest delight is available to you, will never be taken from you, is always with you, that changes everything. You can finally stop chasing those shallow delights. You can finally stop finding yourself at the end unsatisfied, longing. Can we delight in Him? What does it look like to delight in Him? I want to invite you on this journey, not just in this space. If you're not in a group, get into a group. You need to walk through this with other people in real life, be able to process with this with other people. Even if you just join a group for the next 6 weeks, that's fine. Jump into a group for this conversation as we walk through this. Don't do this alone. What if our greatest delight is found in the good portion, our portion, that will not be taken from us? Will you pray with me?
Father, I thank you for those that we've seen experience this in Scripture. Think of David, Paul, John, those who didn't just know you, they delighted in you. Father, I pray that we would know that. I pray that we would live that. I pray that we would experience that, not just for our delight, because the reality is, Father, you deserve to be delighted in. And so we ask that you would show us not just that it's possible, but to show us how it's possible for us to delight in you. In Jesus' name.